Matthew 6, and we're going to start in verse 25. And we're probably going to go all the way to verse 34. We're going to talk about something that affects everyone in the same sense as sin affects everyone. This affects everyone. And what it is that affects everyone, and each one of you can testify to this. And when I say, can I get a witness? I want you to say, amen. Everyone can testify to worry. Can I get a witness? Amen. Okay. I love it. Praise God. You know, and it is like the song Roar saying, because He lives, we don't have to worry. But we find ourselves worrying. You know, I've met with a lot of folks this week, and that was one of the top, you know, it's amazing how God focuses your focus on a certain thing, and a lot of people talk to me this week about how they're worried. How they get things in their mind, and one thing leads to another, and it builds up, and it builds to worry. Or they start off, and this something comes up, and they worry about it. Worry is something that, again, affects us all. But before we get started, let's open up with a prayer to the Heavenly Father and give Him honor and glory. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, You are our refuge and our strength, our source of comfort and hope. Be with us as we walk through this life in this challenging world. Help us to discern the delusions of human systems and to know and embrace Your heavenly wisdom. Equip us to see that there is only one truth, the truth that You revealed in Your ministry of Your Son, Jesus the Messiah, our Savior and our Lord. Open our minds to see Him in the sure hope of Your forgiveness and the certainty of Your eternal promise. Inspire us to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Help us to focus upon Your goodness, Your compassion, and Your will in all things that we think, say, and do. May our one desire be to know You and to follow Jesus and to point others to Him. Help us do all these things today through the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in our Lord and Savior's name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, again, we see something that affects everybody tremendously. Sometimes it affects some people to where it just stops their life. And then some it doesn't really affect too much. Today the title is A Cure for Anxiety. That's the title. And Jesus gives us a cure for that because He talks to us about that because it's important. But again, I want to thank you and first of all tell you how grateful I am that You would give me this opportunity to come and talk to the Word of God with you. And how grateful me and Susan are for Your love and Your kind and Your compassion towards us. But also how grateful I am for a Savior that died upon the cross that we may have life, eternal life. And so it's a great honor for me to come up here and be able to share that word with you. And so I just wanted to talk about that. Okay, we're going to take a look at this scripture here. And we know that the author here is Matthew. I'm going to do a little brief bio here. And he's an apostle. And he writes this letter around AD 50 to AD 60. And the reason I tell you these things is so we can kind of get a thought in our mind of how he's looking at this and where he's looking at this from. He writes to his fellow Jews, but he also writes to future disciples. That's you and me. He writes to us about this. To future disciples of Jesus Christ. This gospel here is widely circulated in the early churches of Asia Minor. It is widely circulated. The churches know about this gospel and they read it in their congregations. Matthew records Jesus' five discourses, five teachings in this gospel, which are these discourses are viewed as a manual for discipleship. If you want to know what Christ wants you to do, if you want to know how to live a godly life, it's here in Matthew, in these five discourses. It is the most comprehensive collection of Jesus' instruction. It's Jesus' instructional ministry found anywhere else in the Scripture. Jesus instructs us here more than any place else. And so this is why it's important. It's important then, and it's important for us today too, to walk this life that Christ has asked you to walk. You and me both. Walk this life. And I can't do it unless I know what He wants me to do. And I can't know what He wants me to do unless I open my ears and I hear Him. We know that. We know the Scripture talks about that. Those who have been in the Word for a long time and the young brothers and sisters who are just now coming. This is what Christ says. Open your ears. And He's going to open our ears today. Today we're going to look at the first discourse. And in this discourse we're going to look at Jesus' teaching on worry and anxiety. He directly addresses this problem to us. Follow along with me. I've got here, it says read 6:25 through 34, but I want to start at the very last part of verse 24 and the very end of it, because this is where it all comes in. He says here, now this is Jesus' words. He says, "You cannot serve God and wealth." Your Bible say maybe God and mammon, but that's what mammon is, it's wealth. You cannot serve God and wealth. And then he goes, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much worth more than you are? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not spin or toil. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And here is the caption of it. Here is the cornerstone. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be to you. And I want to finish up. I know I haven't got 34 down there, but I just want to look at it. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." You know, I kind of like when I do sermons, I like to take a look at the words, and you would probably say, "Well, I hope so, if you're going to get up there and teach it." But the Bible has a lot of meaning for the word anxiety. Maybe your Bible says worry, maybe your Bible says anxiety. But the Bible has a lot of meanings for that, different depending on the context of it. It can mean to be put to shame, to be ashamed, to become dry. When a person is anxious, he becomes dry. You ever had dry mouth? You know. To fear, to worry, to hasten, to act quickly, anxiety, troubled, and this one here, a disquieting thought. When you're anxious, is your mind running 40 miles an hour with all that stuff? Anxious means a disquieting thought. Anxious about, anxious for, an earnest expectation. I'm anxious for something. I'm earnestly looking forward to it. I'm anxious. To be worried beforehand, to dwell upon. And I think the meaning here, These meanings pertain to what Jesus is teaching here. But how do we sum it up? How do we sum the whole thing up? To be anxious is to fear. We just sang this morning. It's in Him that we have life. And when we're anxious, we fear. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I'll clarify that. So please be with me. Three times we're told in this piece of scripture in verses 25, 31, and 34, not to worry. Christ defines a proper attitude of how disciples of Christ are to be. Not to worry. Look at verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you'll drink for your body as to what you'll put on. Nor life is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. You know, Jesus puts the general worry of what we have in our lives. How are we going to feed our family? How am I going to feed myself? How am I going to house my family? How am I going to put clothes on? How am I going to close my... What am I going to drink? We have to understand that during in ancient times, you know, water was a big thing. We know that. As we read Scripture, we see that the water quality wasn't very good. And people did worry if there was a well around to where they could live. So they worried about these things. But let's go back there. It says, for this reason, or it says, therefore, in your Bible. And remember, I've talked to you about this word, therefore. It's a very important word. And when you see this, you want to go back. You want to go back. And so that's why I read this morning, you cannot serve God and wealth. And with that statement, he goes, therefore, because of that, you cannot serve them both. So because of that, do not be worried. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to give your life to Christ, don't worry. If we believe that God is sovereign, if you're sitting in that bench today and you're here and I say, I believe that God is sovereign, He's in charge of all things, and then we worry. Jesus says, knock it off. These are Jesus' words. Don't do it. Knock it off. Quit it. We worry about the physical things of life. And when we worry about the physical things of life, where's your focus, folks? Where's your focus, brothers and sisters? I'm talking about me too here. I'm not talking about you so much. I'm looking at myself when I say this. I'm kind of looking in a mirror here. Don't focus upon the physical things of this world is what Christ is saying here. Don't do it. Stop it. When you find yourself doing that, stop. Focus upon the things of God. Jesus points out what the worries were of His day, the physical things, the material things. And these are worries that encroach upon us today. These are our worries. Food, clothing, and water. When these things are first in our lives, where's God at? When you're focusing upon these things and they're first in your life and you worry about them, you set up and you worry about how you're going to do it, how you're going to pay the bills, how you're going to do this, where's God at in that? That's the question I ask myself. Where's God at when I do those things? Well, God is over here and the worry's in front of me. And Jesus says, stop it. Knock it off, Scott. Don't do it. You know, I want to give you an example of a person who worried. The word is exclusively. Was my mother. She worried. I mean, it didn't matter if we were away from home. When we got home, I can guarantee you where my mother was, she was sitting at that table waiting for us to walk through that door. She was just worried all the time for our well-being, for our safety, for whatever might come our way. She was worried. She worried about everything. I use it as a worry wart. Oh, she was. It sucked the life from her. She wasn't walking with Christ at that time. And she worried about it all. You know, you'll notice folks who don't have Jesus Christ in their life, their focus is upon the physical things. It really is. Where else? What else is there? If you don't have God, if you don't believe in God, if you don't follow God, what else is there? It's the physical and the material things, and Satan's pretty good at this. He's pretty good at this stuff. In fact, he's an expert. But anyway, getting back to, you know, my mother, when she came to know Jesus Christ, the day that she came to know, and I can sit up here and testify to this to you, that stopped. Because she put her faith in Christ. Hallelujah. It changed her. When we worry, it pulls us away from God. You know, well, that's pretty easy for you to get up there and preach on about how to worry. That's pretty easy for you, but you don't know who I am. You don't know me. You don't know what's going on in my life. How can you sit there and tell me not to worry? Well, I can tell you this. Do you know God? You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you do, He tells you to knock it off. Quit it. So when you find that creeping in on yourself, and when you see it coming to you, what do you do? How do I get away from it? I focus upon the things of God. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. You know, it pulls us away. Satan's really good at this, man. I mean, Satan's greatest tool to God's children is to install worry and doubt in their lives. To install worry and doubt in their lives. That's his greatest tool. You know, he'll take us in. You know, we know that Satan, we know that he isn't that so much the action of the temptation, but when we sin, he'll take that sin and he'll twist and turn and go, you ain't worth it. You're not fit to be in God's kingdom. Look what you've done. There is no way that God can forgive you. And then we start to believe it. And we put doubt in our mind. Am I really saved? Have I done what it takes? I doubt. And then he installs fear in us. Satan's great at this. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. But don't buy into it, brothers and sisters. The lies... The lie is that if you have these things in abundance, the things that Jesus Christ talks about, the material things and the physical things, if you have them in abundance, we've heard this over and over and over and over. If you have them in abundance, then you're going to finally know what peace is. You're going to finally know what happiness is. If you just have this. Why is it the man who has $1 million wants another million? He's never satisfied. It's never enough. We see it in stories about people who do prosper very well and they end up some way tragically in their lives because it's never enough. Their focus is upon the physical things. They're unfed. It can never be fulfilled. I'm talking that soul, that spot in your soul. If you fill it with anything besides Christ, you're going to be empty. And that's what Christ tells us. If you have these things in abundance, then the only thing that you will be at peace is when you have all these things. And we see and know many people who buy into this lie, who spent their whole life focusing upon how to better myself. And I'm not, don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying not to better yourself. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying not to prosper. Because God tells us to prosper. He tells us to do those things. But when we buy into it, when we start serving the material stuff and not serving God, that's where it comes. And then we can't fulfill it. And then what do? We worry. We don't give it to God. Is this you? Am I talking? Is this hit home to you? That's a rhetorical question. Don't answer. They spend their whole life. You know, I knew a man one. He told me, he says, I lay awake at night. This is the exact words. He says, I lay awake at night thinking how I'm going to make my next dollar. worrying about how he's going to make his next dollar. What a sad life. Where's the joy? What a sad life. But that's all he knew. He didn't know anything else. He didn't know Christ. As Christians, Jesus knows that we worry. He knows that. That's why he says, don't do it. He knows that you do worry. He knew that his disciples worried. We read about that. And he says, I know you do this. Don't do it, though. I know you do it. And that's why he teaches this. He tells us not to be anxious, but you know what? I do. He tells me not to worry, but I do. Why do I do that? He would give us the keys to help us here. Here's the key. Faith is the destroyer of worry. It destroys worry, your faith. Scripture says, if anyone says he doesn't sin, he or she is a liar. I say the same is for worry. If a Christian says that he or she never worries, I say that he or she is a liar. Because we all do. This is something that affects us all. And this is why Jesus teaches on. I'm looking at myself, brothers and sisters, when I say this statement. I'm looking at myself here. It is in our nature to worry. It's in our nature to sin. I believe worry comes along with sin. It's in our nature. We're fallen. We can't fight worry by focusing on... But wait a minute. We can fight worry by focusing on the things of God. Faith, brothers and sisters, faith destroys it. When you find yourself worrying, where's your faith? Ask yourself that. Lord, do I really truly believe that you're in control? Do I really truly believe that? If the answer is yes, your worries are going to pass. They're going to pass. Christ directs our focus off the physical world when he asks, is his life not more than these things? The physical things. He addresses the worry of food. Let's take a look at verse 26. Let's go there. Look at the birds of the air, and that they do not sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more worth than you are? Look at the birds of the air. You know, I can imagine that Jesus is sitting on teaching his disciples this. I can put this in my mind. Because if you know anything about migration, especially the birds out of Europe, most all birds that come out of Europe migrating to Africa go through Israel. Israel's full of birds. Because if you go north, what do you have? Desert, no water. You go south, what do you have? Desert, no water. Or east and west, you have no... So the birds, they come through. And I can imagine, as Jesus is teaching this, that he looks up and he sees the birds. I really can. And he uses them. And he goes, look at the birds. Because they would be there. You know, actually, Israel, they know the migration patterns of all the birds, at what time they do, so their jets and their planes don't fly into them. Because the bird migration is heavy through there. So they look at this stuff, they study it, and they know. So I can actually picture Jesus in my mind looking up and goes, look at the birds, and seeing them. I can imagine that. They never reap or sow, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. They don't worry. The birds don't worry. You know, they're provided for by God. Wait a minute, though. I thought they didn't ever reap or sow. That's true. They have to search for the food. God is the provider. As he is in your life, he provides all things. But it doesn't give us the license to just sit down here and go, okay, God, here I am. Where's that? The birds, use them as an example. They search it. They search for the food. And you know what? They find it. God provides it for them. That should be an example for us. Yes, we search for these things. But don't worry about it because God's going to provide those things. They search for it and they find it. God provides for them. He gives them a life. Jesus asks, are you not worth more than them? Jesus gives the birds life. Does he not give you life? Won't he take care of you? Human beings are more valuable to God than any animal. Is that true? Can I get a witness? Amen. The Scripture tells us that. We know that. We are made in the image of God and in His likeness. We see that in Genesis 1:27-28. God gave the human race dominion over all the earth and all the creatures. And then we also see finally how much God loves us in John 3:16, that He gave His only Son. That's how much He loves you. Don't you think you're worth more than the birds? He loves you. He gave His own Son to die for your sins, for our sins. If God provides food for the animal world, will He not do that for you? Why are you worrying about it? If God clothes the lily of the field, now when He talks about this word, lily of the field, let me just give you an insight there. That means, and I looked it up and I looked at that phrase, lily of the field, and it means wildflowers. Not just lilies, but it means all wildflowers. Have you ever taken a look at and I'm sure you have, the petal of a flower, your favorite flower, how beautiful it is, how crafted it is, it's beautiful. And it's made by God's hand. But God says if He clothes the lilies of the field with beauty and grace, why would He not do that for you? Why are you worrying? Stop it. It says here, look in verse 29. Read along with me. It says here, and I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothes himself like one of these. Not even Solomon in his fine clothing. You know, Solomon's robe, we read on the edge of his robes, they were made out of the finest linen, the finest silk. Silk was kind of new at that time. And his robes were made, and on the borders was embroidered in golden thread. There was nothing like it. There was no clothing like it in the world at that time. And God says, compared to the flowers, to the beauty of the flowers, that's a sackcloth. We look at that material and think, oh, look at how beautiful Solomon's robe is. And God's saying, it's a sackcloth. It doesn't mean anything. But our focus in our mind goes, well, I want that. That's what I want for myself. And we seek it out. And we put God on the back burner saying, God, I know You want these things for me, and I trust You. Will He give you a robe lined in gold? I don't know. Maybe He will. But we're not to worry about that. Not to worry about that stuff. You know, we're going to a part of the world. I can get up and say, don't worry about the food and don't worry about the clothing. And they're going to look at me from the physical side. But there's some that Christ taught over there. They understand that. It's a little different over there than it is here. We've been a land of plenty. We've been given to it all our lives. We know nothing. We've brought up generations with it. Over there, it's a little different. But the message is still the same. It's still the same. It doesn't change. If God clothes the plant world with such care, which is only temporary, by the way, it's only temporary, will He not do that so much for you? Do not worry. Stop it. Quit it. Trust God. Worry does not add to life. Actually, we know, we've done studies of worry. We see that it actually shortens life. We know that. It's a destroyer. And then we read, look at the next verse. It says, but if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? And then here it goes, you of little faith. And I go, Lord, I'm sorry. When I worry, I know my faith is little. It doesn't say you don't have any faith, does it? It doesn't say you have no faith. It says your faith is little when you concentrate upon these things. You have little faith. I think that's important for us. This is what happens to our faith when we worry about the physical things. Our faith is little. Again, we take our focus up off God and we put it upon the material and physical world. And we all do it. It pulls us, when we do those things, it pulls us away from our faith in God to provide for us. Where is your faith? That's what he says. Oh, you live like, don't you know that God will provide for you? We're going, yeah, I know God is going to provide for me, but man, I sure would like to have that car. Man, I'm going to do everything I can. And he goes, when you really focus upon the physical things, it pulls you away from me. Stop it. I don't want you pulled away from me. Don't do it. So he tells us not to do this. This is our cure. The faithless worry, don't they? The people who don't believe in God, they worry. They are in complete spiritual darkness, unbelievers. They are unsure of the future. They worry. They seek the things of this world. They worry. We read in verse 32 that God knows these things, that you need these things. Look at verse 32. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's talking about the unbelievers who seek after material and physical things because that's their God. And they bought into the great lie of society and Satan that if you fill yourself with this, you'll be satisfied. The unbeliever, now he turns and he goes, the unbelievers do this, what about you? Who believe in me? When you do these things, it pulls you away from me. I have to deal with this all the time. I have to check myself at the door every day. But you know what? The farther I go down this path, the easier it is to check myself at the door every day when I first wake up. Why do people worry? Why do they worry? Why are you worrying? They worry about yesterday? No. They worry about the future. Am I going to be able to make that tomorrow? Am I going to be able to get that next week? Am I going to be able to do this? You know, I was woken up in the middle of the night in a dream. And Betty, I'm going to use you because you were in that dream. It was a good. You were good. You saved me, by the way. I wanted to let you know that. You. And I was preaching on this sermon, and I was worried whether I was going to be able to preach the Word of God. And apparently I didn't because you all got up and left. Except for Betty. And I go, what am I doing? It's in the Spirit that I preach the Word. You can't fail when you preach about God. You might preach poorly, you might teach poorly, but you can't fail. So you see, it affects everybody. By the way, Betty, thank you. But we worry about the future. I woke up in the middle of the night worrying about this moment. Shame on me. And I had to check myself and say, Lord, this is not about me, this is about you. I'm not going to do that. But we worry about the future. But let me tell you something, folks. Brothers and sisters, here's the greatest insight to you. Our God is a God of tomorrows. His mercy, now you know this one, His mercy is new every morning. He is a God of tomorrow. Worry, what does worry do? Worry steals our joy. Worry robs you of your peace. It fouls up our relationship with Jesus Christ and God Almighty. It fouls it up. It cripples our faith. It cripples it. It harms our usefulness. Because we're so focused upon the things of today and tomorrow than we are. How can we be useful in the kingdom of God when we're like that? It hurts us. and it wrecks our testimony. If I get up here and say, don't you worry, God will take care of you. God is a God of love. God is a God of justice. He will take care of you if you put your faith in Him, which is all true, by the way. And then I go out here and go, oh, Sue, I'm so worried about running out. I'm a hypocrite. And you should come to me and say, Scott, you're a hypocrite for standing up there teaching us not to worry, and then you turn around and you do it yourself. I hope you do that if I am doing that. But do it nicely, okay? But anyway, the point is, folks, if we're not living and breathing what we teach and what we preach, then we are hypocrite ourselves. That's the focus. And believe me, we have enough of that in this world. It can wreck our testimony. It can make you a hypocrite. You know, worry is a powerful force. It is a powerful force. It is a ruiner of souls. People get so far away from God and get so deep into worry and so far away into spiritual darkness that they never find their way back. It can destroy your soul. It creates havoc in your life and those around you. Jesus says, keep from doing it. Stop it. I keep hearing this in my mind all the time. Jesus is saying, stop it. Stop right now. Turn around. I hope that you hear that in your mind too. Let me do something here for you. Okay, I'm thinking something. Okay, I got it. Okay, everybody raise their right hand. Everybody raise it up. Get it up there. Come on. Okay. Okay, you can put it down. Just think about what happened. I took a thought, had no physical substance to it, but a thought, and I put it in my heart, I gave it to the mouth, and gave it to you, you put it in your head, you thought about it, and you raised your hand. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? A thought! And you guys turned it into a physical thing. That's what worry does. We get it here, it puts here, and then it comes out here. And in our body. Jesus says, stop it. Stop it where? Stop it here. Keep it from your mind. Because the mind is the heart. And where your mind is, your heart is also. If you're worried about it, people are going to know it. And it's going to show up. I thought that experiment was pretty cool, didn't you? I thought that was good. I thought, okay. Anyway, seek first the kingdom. Okay, well, I don't want to get it. Again, it creates havoc in your life. Let's look at verse 33. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah for verse 33. Hallelujah. Let's read it together. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We kind of touched this morning in Sunday school. There was a great discussion about this morning. And Jesus tells us here first, He says, seek the kingdom first. Wait a minute. Shouldn't I be seeking God first? Should that be the first thing I do? Jesus is telling me, no, you don't do that. You seek the kingdom first. And I ask myself, why is that? Why doesn't God want me to seek Him first? Well, here's my answer. And it's in Scripture. We don't seek after God, do we? God seeks after us. He makes Himself known to us, and then He makes Himself known to us, and then we seek after Him. And so He says that I made Myself known to you to seek the kingdom. First of all, seek. That means that we've got to put a foot forward, and we've got to actually actively seek God. He says, seek Me. I mean, reach out, find it. Look for it. Look under a rock. Look in your heart. Seeking. He's already made Yourself known to Him. And you do it first. That's the first thing you do. And then all this worry is out the door. Seek the kingdom. Well, if I'm seeking the kingdom, what am I seeking? I'm seeking Jesus Christ. It's His kingdom. So if I seek after God, and I do that, the very first thing I do, and I seek after His righteousness, which is the acts of God, the kindness, the goodness, the moral attributes of God. If I seek all that, here's the cure. It's right here. It's right there. Read it. And all these things will be added to you. What's all these things? All the physical stuff in the world that you need, whatever. God's going to take care of you. You're going to, don't worry about that. Seek the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Seek the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Why does Jesus tell us? We are to seek Him first, and then His righteousness. Okay, we seek Christ, who He is, and then we take the moral attributes, the attributes of God, which is Christ, and put them in ourselves. And that person goes, look at there, there's a Christian right there. How do you know? Look at his attributes. Look what he does. Look how he holds himself. Look how he loves everybody. He tells the truth. He gives the truth of God. Look at him. God says, you'll be known by who you are. They'll know that you belong to me. Because we seek the kingdom first and his righteousness and we put it in ourselves. There's the cure. You got to find yourself worrying next time. You find something that's really burdening you. Oh, Lord, how am I going to make this bill? How am I going to do that? You have to say, stop and seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And God tells me that he'll add all those things to me. Do I believe that? Another rhetorical question. I hope the answer is yes. I believe it with all my soul. When we seek the kingdom of God, we're seeking Christ. Christ tells us in John 14. I think it's in verse 6. Thomas asks him, he goes, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And what's Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Seek the kingdom. How do we seek the kingdom? Through Christ. Is there any other way? Nope. No other way. You're not going to find your joy in material things. You're not going to find your joy in physical things. You're going to find your joy in the spiritual thing. That's the best advice I can give anybody. If you find that you start to worry and things start piling up and you get worrying and it's just like a train wreck waiting to happen and it just builds and it builds and it builds and it builds and you just got to say, stop. My faith is in Christ. Even though it looks dire, it doesn't matter. These are physical things. These are worldly things. My concern is my soul and where it's going to spin. Focus upon the things that are unseen. There's only one way to the Father. Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we seek the kingdom, we are seeking to do God's will. And not our own. You know that? When we seek the kingdom, we put our own selfish side off to the side. So what do I got to do? What do I got to do? We don't do that no more. We go, what does Christ want me to do? What does Christ want me to do? What does Christ want me to do? So we take our selfishness, which is a pride and a greedy, and it destroys us, and we put it to the side and we seek Him first. You can say, well, you put that into everything. Well, yeah, you could. But God says, this is your cure. Don't worry. I'll take care of you. Where's your faith? I'll do it. In fact, I'll do it. I'll send my son to die on a cross for it. I'll do it for you. Don't worry about the physical things. Take care of the spiritual. Seeking the kingdom can only be done by surrendering to the truth claims of the King himself. That's the only way it can be done. And His righteousness. When we seek the kingdom of God, we seek Christ. Boy, we read that over and over. All through the gospel, all through the New Testament. Seeking God, seek this, seek that, seek. Seek this and seek that. But God says before, all that seeking, a lot of seeking going on here. A lot of seeking over here and a seeking here and seek. God tells us to seek. But what He says to seek first, of all your seeking, is the kingdom. That's what He tells us. That's the first thing. When we seek the righteousness, we seek Jesus' standards for our lives. When we seek His righteousness, it's His standards that we want to make attributes in our life. We are His ambassadors. When we seek righteousness, we seek the standard for ourselves, Jesus' standards. True Christian righteousness is first. Now let me, and I'll finish up with this. True Christian righteousness is first inward. It's inward. Remember what we did with the hand? Remember we thought here, and we went here, and then we did it here? It all starts here. Renewing of your mind. I think Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about the renewing of your mind. Jesus says it starts here. Then it goes here. Then it comes here. That's where it starts, in the mind. And that's for everyone. That's for you older saints and you young brothers and sisters. It's for you too. It starts here. Get your mind right. When we seek the kingdom of God, we can do that. Again, true Christian righteousness is first inward and then becomes a testimony. Remember, inward, it starts here. It becomes my testimony. We talked about testimony in Awana, didn't we? Very important, our testimony. We talked about it. I get it here, and it becomes my testimony. And that testimony is outward. My testimony is outward. It's not inward, it's outward. And all who yearn to be right before God, here it is, all who yearn to be right before God are made right through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're made right. If you seek the spiritual, here it is. You've been waiting for this for 40 minutes. If you seek the spiritual, He will provide the physical. Where's your faith? I hope you believe that. Don't worry. Stop it. Don't worry about the physical. We are not to be reckless. We need to be good stewards of what God gives us. Now, I want to just end right here. That doesn't mean that we can just be reckless for whatever God gives us. We're supposed to be good stewards of what God has given each of you. And it's special. And it's individual. He's given to you each what you need. And we're supposed to be good stewards of that. We're not just because we seek God, we can do whatever we want. I know. We have to be good stewards of what He gives us. Whether that's plenty or whether it's skinny. It doesn't matter. Because our focus is all upon the spiritual. Pray with me, will you? Heavenly Father, thank You, Father. Thank You for Your provision to each of us. Father, we live in a land of plenty. Lord, as we talk about these worrying about physical needs and stuff, we might be a little fogged over because of the blessings that You poured out upon this country. But Father, I just ask that we would seek You first in all things. We seek You first in how we are to hold ourselves accountable to You. We would seek You first when we are teaching and testifying our testimony about You. For all glory and honor belongs to God. It does not belong to us. So, Father, as we testify in a testimony about You, Lord, to who may ever cross our path, whether it's here at home or far away, Lord, may we glorify Your name, and may You be uplifted, and may our focus be upon You and You only. Father, help us with this worry, for we do battle with it because of the great nature that Satan uses this. But Father, You give us a cure for this. Thank You, Lord. I thank You for each one here until we have a chance to meet all of You again in 3 weeks, Lord. We ask that God would watch over You and prosper You in all that You do. And we thank You for all Your support on this time of this mission. And Lord, that You may be glorified in everything that each one of us do. Thank you, Father. And all God's children said, Amen. We will have evening service. Thank you, everybody.